You are listening to the Mission Matters Podcast Network, where we amplify the stories of entrepreneurs, executives, and experts.
Hi, everyone. I don't often have guests. I'm not going to often have guests. I may occasionally have one. If I did, it would be some fun stories from successful traders who have made their way through. But I'm never going to have a guest on that's going to sit here and discuss concepts in the market. I always admired a radio personality who was not in the financial arena. It doesn't matter who it is, but he never had guests on either because he just thought through his topic he was on and explained things in his own unique way. He didn't really need, rely, or want anyone else's opinion. I don't want that to come across the wrong way, but I just spent some time listening to some financial shows this week, and it is absolutely hysterical. This topic is about precision today, and I'll show you how I'm going to get there, because they're sitting around, and one show had a panel on with eight people, and the discussion was, will the Fed raise rates next time or not? And they all went around and they all gave their status quo answer that if the next numbers are too hot and blah, 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 and maybe it's already built in and maybe it's a question if we're going to raise rates a second time, blah, blah, blah. And while I laugh at this all the time, I had to ask the question. So you get this panel and you determine, okay, we all agree there's going to be a rate hike next quarter. So what? What do you do with that information? This podcast is for October 12th of 2023, so I'm doing it over the weekend. And this prior week, whatever day it was, we had some terrible economic news, very hot economy, which of course is going to make us raise interest rates even more. And the market absolutely hates this. And all during the pre-market, because these numbers came out at 8:30, all the pundits were all bragging how smart they are, that of course the market was gapping down a lot. This was a big deal. Wow, we're going to get smoked today. And it's all the Fed's fault because they're going to continue to raise rates in response to this hot economy that we have. Of course, a normal common sense thinking person might say, well, wait a minute, isn't a good economy kind of what we want? Well, sometimes it is. Many times the market will respond to hot economy numbers because we want a good economy. When the market goes in that direction, of course, everyone says, oh, wow, see, the market likes a good economy. We don't want a recession. That's what we're doing. And then, of course, when the market responds to numbers that are too hot by selling off, everyone says, oh, the market is afraid of those interest rate hikes, et cetera. Well, everybody got caught with their pants down this day because the market, although it gapped down, started a three-day rally, a huge rally. And, of course, this is all happening on terrible numbers. And it gets to be funny when you look at the pundits who are just, you know, dazed and confused to some extent, try and pull it off. Oh, of course, what's happening is this is all built in. We know all this stuff, but here's my point of all this. Even if you came to the conclusion that at the end of this panel, we're going to raise rates, we're not going to raise rates, and let's assume that that was going to be an accurate forecast of what's going to happen. What do you do with that knowledge? What do you do with that? So right now on October 12th, you go out and you start buying the market because we're not going to raise rates. You sell what you have because you are going to raise rates. What are you doing? And this is what I mean about precision. When you listen to things like this, when you listen to fundamentals, besides the fact that they don't work and really have no relevance in your trading, what do you do with the information? I mentioned this in my discussion about fundamentals. If you're talking about fundamentals, okay, you like the stock's fundamentals. Where do you get in? Where do you decide to get out? Where do you take money? It's just a wild guess. There's no precision whatsoever. And this is what leads to people either hanging on too long and giving back all their profits, if they're fortunate enough to have profits, or getting into something that's not working and hanging on until 20% of their account is bled out and now they don't know what to do. By the way, this is Paul from Discipline Trading Strategies with the podcast series, What Matters in Trading and Investing. And this is my ninth episode, Precision in Trading. Precision in Trading is everything to me. And that's the title of this episode. That was a little introduction for you to tell you kind of how crazy it is how most people look at things. By precision, I'm going to show you an example. There are two slide notes down there, and they're simply a couple of trades. You can start looking at them if you want to. I'll refer back to them a couple of times. But before I get into that, I want to kind of get into the next leg of this whole thing where so many people have it wrong. Now, I never want to offend anybody. If you're a successful trader, we all have our own style. You might be doing some things that I'm saying is not the best way to do things, but that's okay. There's a lot of ways to make money. And if you're doing it successfully and you're doing something that isn't my style, I applaud that. There's a lot of ways to make money, and I've never told anybody it has to be my style exactly. But I do have a style, and for a lot of people, they don't have anything and they're not making money and they're losing money. I'm talking to you. If you don't have a style and you think that you have to chase these hot stocks, volatile stocks, you got to trade crypto. One of the dumbest things I ever hear muttered by anybody is that they're not making money trading stocks and somebody talked them into trading crypto. That's one of the dumbest comments you can ever say. Trading is trading. A chart is a chart. A stock is a stock. Crypto is crypto. Really doesn't matter what it is. What crypto is and what draws people to it is the tremendous volatility. Somebody looks at it and goes, oh, wow, I can make tons of money with that if I get on the right side at the right moment and the right day and sell at the right time. Well, it's true with anything, but you don't need crypto to do that. And as a matter of fact, super volatile things like that are like dynamite to kids. It's very bad for your trading in general, because especially for new people, you don't know how to handle it. I'll go over a couple of examples in a minute, but what I want you to focus on is what it said in the episode description, that the closest synonym I could perhaps come up with for precision and trading is boring. And that may not be an accurate English language synonym, but I feel it is in trading. Trading should be boring. If you get a stock to drop from point A to point B, if you're short, because that's what my examples both are, if you're short and you get a stock to drop from point A to point B, you have a certain risk amount you set up, and that dictates the share size you have. And if it drops twice as much as what your stop amount was, and you share sized it properly, you make twice whatever your risk was. So if you've risked $1,000 and you have a stop in place on the chart and it drops twice as much as what your stop was, you make $2,000, period. And the profit you make doesn't matter if it comes from the most boring stock in the world, dropping 40 cents as a day trade with a 20 cent stop, or maybe dropping $4 as a swing trade with a $2 stop, or if it's crypto, dropping twice whatever stop you have. But what does matter is it's very hard to trade the crypto, because you oftentimes will find that while that volatility, you're looking at that in terms of what a great move you might have. Remember, that same volatility is going to cause you to have a wider stop to be able to trade this properly. And it likely means you're going to stop out a lot more often. So when you do the math at the end of the day, especially for a more inexperienced trader, these volatile stocks are kryptonite, and perhaps the word I should have used earlier instead of dynamite, because it may have implied a good thing, but it's kryptonite, like kryptonite is a Superman. These are terrible things to new traders because they get drawn to them because of the volatility. I'm a professional trader. I go for boring stuff. I have a saying that you always let the stock come to you. You never chase the stock. When you're trading volatile stuff, you're always chasing it. Chasing it works if you get one of the biggest moves of the week or of the month. You get in at the right time. Congratulations. But most of the time, anything, whether it's volatile or not, is spending its time just slopping around back and forth in a random type manner. And when you get in late on those, you hurt. So you need to understand exactly where to get into these. And boring is easy because boring lends to precision. The money you make from going long or going short a boring stock is no different than the money that you make going long or short crypto or even some of the wilder stocks. A lot of people who trade stocks will tell me, oh, I got to trade Tesla because it's so volatile. Makes no sense at all to me. You don't have to trade Tesla. I trade Tesla sometimes. It's not a crazy stock. It moves a lot, but that's not a plus to me. It's not something I need. Take a look at slide note number one. This was a day trade from last week. The numbers are down at the bottom. This was done with everybody in the DTS trading room. Boring as can be. 10 o'clock in the morning, WDC comes up to challenge a prior high. I'm not getting into the strategy here of why I did this. It's not really relevant here. But this was a favorite thing for me that day. Actually, a room member helped find it. And when we came back up, you can see the big short mark on the chart near the top of the chart. That's where I shorted. And look what happens from there. For the next 2 hours, the stock just kind of falls off into the abyss. Took profits at the right time. And the stock made the last two targets. The whole thing made almost twice what the risk was. The last two targets were a little over twice the risk. We call that a 2R trade, twice the risk amount. And it happened in a couple hours. And my point of this is simply that the entry was simple. It was not hard to do, hard to find, didn't have to chase it. It never challenged the stop. It was easy to manage because it wasn't bouncing all over the place. It was boring. And it went to exactly where it's supposed to go. Now, naturally, not every trade I do does this, but trading is about odds. And the more you can increase the odds, the better you're going to be. You increase odds by having accuracy, and you get accuracy through trading precision. Now, naturally, precision doesn't matter if you don't know what to do with it. If you didn't know that you could short WDC right off that top, and if you didn't know where you could cover it to make money, you're not going to make money from this either. But you'll be getting killed twice as fast trying to trade volatile things. I have the advantage of being in a position of teaching people, and a lot of people come to me, and not necessarily people who are taking anything in DTS, just free members and strangers who email me. And I get a real good view of what people look at and what they think when they come to trading for the first time. Plus, my memories of what I looked at when I first came, because I was new to stocks and trading when I first started. And I have to tell you, the common thing all the time is that somebody will be looking at and suggesting these crazy biotech stocks that just gap from 50 cents up to $2, and they want to go long because they think it's going to be the next stock that gets to 30 or something like that. If you're going to do that, you're way better off going to Vegas and take your chances there, because there's much better odds at Vegas than there is at trading some of these crazy stocks people look at. Why are you doing that? Why do you think you have to take one trade and make your whole month's salary, which of course will never happen? And even if you did get the winner, what are the odds you'll hold on to it? The odds are you would sell it for a day's profit anyhow. So why not just find precision? Why not learn what patterns to look for? Find those patterns, trade them with precision, make your money, make it over and over again, have good odds, occasionally go for a home run on something where you have a really good setup, but forget these concepts about going for crazy, volatile things. Here's the final proof. What's your trading record? If you are new, and if you have been not doing what I'm suggesting, if you have been going after crazy things, how much money are you making? I'm willing to bet you anything you're not making money. Again, as I said earlier, I apologize. If you have your own style and you're good and you know what you're doing, there are different styles out there. And certainly Tesla, for example, people can make money trading Tesla all the time. I trade it sometimes. I just traded it last week. Nothing wrong trading Tesla. But to think that that's what you have to trade is crazy to me. This gets back to the other reason I like stocks and the stock market rather than Forex or futures. I trade futures sometimes, but here's the thing. I like stocks because I can look and find a boring setup with precision and make my money. And if I don't find it with the first stock I look at, or the second or the third, I may look at a whole bunch of stocks. As a matter of fact, at night I scan a whole bunch of stocks. It takes me about 20 minutes. And then I find a couple of handfuls of the things that maybe have the pattern I want for long-term investing and or for day trading the next day. I take those stock names that have the patterns I maybe like, look at them the next day. If I'm day trading, then I have to do some other things. I have to find the right market bias, the right market timing, the perfect entry. That stock has to come to my entry. So there's a lot of things going on. But I like that variety because then I can look at several things and find the one that meets my criteria, rather than saying, I have to trade Tesla, or I have to trade the futures, or I have to trade this Forex pair, and then forcing a trade because you don't know what to do with the setup that you have. I know there's some advantages to futures trading and to Forex trading, and the biggest one for most people is the leverage. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need the day trader rule, and a lot of people get drawn to doing that. But here's the bottom line question I have to ask you again. Are you making money? That's what matters. As you likely know by now, I like both day trading and I also like long-term investing. That second slide note is a longer-term trade. That's a daily chart you're looking at. The WDC was a five-minute chart. And this trade took place from the end of July, the very end of July. And part of that trade was covered, meaning exited the short, just before September 1st, and the rest of it just a couple days ago. This is the Dave & Buster's trade, boring as can be, but look at the precision you have. See, some people look at the time that I shorted that. If you look at it at the end of July there, you look at that pattern, you say, boy, that's so boring. It's not doing anything. Well, that's what I call the moment in time. It's the birthplace of a move. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the other charts that made me think that was the moment. I got a little lucky with this one. I actually shorted that green bar day, and that was the high, and it just dropped from then. But finding that moment in time is the precision that I'm talking about. Because from then, if you look, it just dropped. So you're never in fear. You're never worrying about how to manage this thing. it kept dropping. And amazingly, I did a different presentation and I had to use this for an example because this stock was upgraded by two major brokerage banks a couple days and a week before I shorted it. And coincidentally, if you look at where I covered it, within 2 days of that cover, five major banks downgraded it. So they have you buying where I shorted and then selling where I covered, exactly the reverse of what you should be doing. Precision, learning to read a chart, that's what it's all about. A lot of times I say in talks like this that I know a lot of you are not going to listen to me. You're not going to just hear these words and go, oh, I got to do what he said. But here's what I found is a lot of times people come back to me 2 months later and they'll say, you know what? I was out trading. I was doing this. I was doing that. And it wasn't working. I was getting frustrated. And it just clicked with me that, you know, that guy, what was his name? Paul. I listened to him and he said this was going to be a problem. And you know what? I remember that. And what I like to hear is that somebody, rather than taking 2 years and losing all their money or 2 years and struggling that whole time, that maybe after a week, couple weeks, they recognize, they understood what I said, they recognize it, and maybe it dawns on a little bit later that, hey, why am I chasing this thing? This doesn't make any sense. Let me learn how to do it the right way. So at the very least, if I don't win you over on this talk, and by win you over, all I mean is maybe impart some wisdom from experience and doing this a long time and from teaching people that'll maybe help you go in the right direction. If you're in the right direction, that's great. If you're making money, that's great. But don't tell me you know what you're doing if you're losing money every day, every week, every month. If you're on a plan to improve, if you are doing something to improve yourself, great. But too many people just keep losing and just keep saying, well, I'll fix it next week, next month, whatever it is, and they never do. There's a lot of great tips in these podcasts. As I mentioned in an earlier podcast, you're not going to learn to trade from these. I hope you understand that. That's something I can help you with if you want. But these are just great tips, great ideas, great things if you are learning on your own, and also great things to get you started in the right direction. Remember, there is a huge failure rate for new traders, well, even experienced traders coming to trade in the market, long-term or short-term. The reasons for that could be several podcasts. It would take that long to go through all of them. But some of the common sense reasons are just simply that the market is not common sense. And this was a topic of a prior podcast I did. And so many people try to use common sense to figure out the market. So many people feel that they have to be worthy of the money they make. So they don't feel good just looking at a chart. They feel like they're playing a video game. But as I pointed out, the market is a video game, period. If you ever think it's anything more than that, it's only going to make it difficult for you. Be sure to subscribe if you like these podcasts and continue to follow. Every Thursday, a new one's released. This is Paul for DTS. Good trading, everybody.
This has been a Mission Matters Network production. Listen to this show and browse our entire catalog by visiting missionmatters.com.